Well, good evening. As you know, we've been dealing with the Church of the Firstborn. And specifically, we've been dealing with the issue of faith. And someday we'll get to the other part of that, which is hope. And then we'll get to mercy and love. All of those things are important. So I'll begin. This started as Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Then 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7, which is what you should always carry with you, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Excuse me. We continue our study of the Church of the Firstborn. And I go to Hebrews 11:11. And these are verses that all of us have read, and this verse 11, I've tended to skip over, but it's an interesting verse, and we're going to go a little bit deeper into it. It says, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Okay, and we read those words, and we go, yeah, Sarah was faithful. Yep, Sarah got pregnant, and Sarah delivered. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. At first glance at these words, you think that Sarah was a perfect lover of God and had undying faith and trust in the Lord at all times. Right? Isn't that the way we think of her? No. The women are going, huh. The men are going, huh? Okay. We tend to think of the men and women of the Bible as fictional superheroes. All right? People who did not make the same mistakes that we do. People who somehow were born with more zeal for the Lord than we could ever have. All right? This is not true. Because men and women of the Bible grew up the same way that we do. There were different times, different cultures, different technology. But still the same human creatures that God created with the same human nature that we have. Do you realize that? These great men of faith had the same problems we do. Now that's a shock to me because I always put them up here. But they had the same problems. They were taunted. They were bullied in school. They flirted with each other in their younger years. They were hurt and they cried. They were depressed and sad. I think of Ezekiel immediately. I think of Solomon. I think of all the prophets and what they were. They were joyful and they were happy. They lived with peer pressure. Everybody know what that is? Well, you got to do it this way. Everybody else is doing it. You're not going to be cool unless you do this. They lived with peer pressure. They said spiteful words to each other, sometimes. They said loving words to each other. They got angry. And as I read through a lot of the great men of the Bible, they got drunk. They had lustful thoughts. They also loved. And they had their hearts broken. And they battled with the spirit of man versus the spirit of God. All right, does that sound like us now? Are we there? Good. Because this was the condition of Abraham and Sarai. We haven't changed her name yet. Sarai. With one significant exception. They both loved the Lord their God, and they tried to obey him with all their hearts. Now let's take a look at Abraham's initial reaction to God's promise. I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to go through verses 15 to 21. We've all read these stories, but I want you to just pay attention to Abraham's reaction. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." So now I can quit saying Sarai. It's now Sarah. "And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man of 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." All right. You're kind of getting the idea of Abraham's initial reaction. God begins his words to Abraham, first off, by changing his wife's name from Sarai to Sarah. I couldn't find out what Sarai means, but I know that the name that he changed to Sarah means princess. God has made the covenant of circumcision with Abram, A-B-R-A-M, which meant high father. And he just changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means the father of multitudes. So we have the princess and the father of multitudes now. God tells Abraham that Abraham is now to be known as the father of multitudes, Sarah as the princess, and then he says that he will bless her with the son, and that she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. What does Abraham do? He falls on his face and laughs. And notice the words. Abraham falls on his face and laughs. Okay? He's 100 years old. Sarah's 90. And the Lord says, "No, Sarah shall bear a son that you will conceive." And Abraham was, you know, he trusted the Lord. He tried to obey the Lord. But his initial reaction was to fall on his face and laugh. It wasn't just to chuckle. He fell on his face and laughed. He's 100, Sarah's 90. And then he says to God, "Take Ishmael, the illegitimate son of Sarah's handmaiden Hagar, and make him the beginning of Abraham's offspring." That's what Abraham was asking God. You know, rather than, you know, I'm 100, my wife's 90. Whoops. Here we go. I'm 100, my wife's 90. Rather than go through all this, make Ishmael your chosen offspring. And God, very patiently and very lovingly, I mean, he doesn't strike him dead. You know, he just says, "No," and he repeats himself and patiently explains to Abraham, "My people will be from you and Sarah's offspring." And God further goes on to tell Abraham that he will also bless Ishmael and make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly, that he shall become the father of 12 princes and make him a great nation. So this is the illegitimate offspring of Abraham, and God is providing for Ishmael, even Ishmael. All right, because Sarah knew she wasn't going to conceive, so she gave Abraham her handmaiden and says, here, conceive a child. And Ishmael was the offspring that Abraham was going to leave everything to. He was going to leave everything to Ishmael. And now God's telling him, no, your wife will conceive and a son will be born. And that will be my people. Ishmael, meaning God will hear. Isn't that a neat definition? Ishmael's name means God will hear. He was 14 years old when Isaac was born. He was Abraham's intended heir. And he was blessed by God to create the very people that Israel would take the promised land from. See God's purpose in what's going on here. He promised that Ishmael would have 12 sons, 12 princes, 12 castles, 12 nations. The Arabs of today, they're the descendants of Ishmael. The Lord God blessed Ishmael so that his will would be accomplished in the ages to come. Ishmael's sons developed and produced the promised land that God gave to Israel. The current strife that exists today, that you see on TV, you see in the newspapers, is still part of God's plan to bring His Word to fulfillment. It is not out of control over there. It is God's plan. The very descendants of Ishmael are battling the descendants of Isaac. It's not an accident. It didn't just happen. God planned it. And as we read the scriptures, we're going to see the fulfillment of God's will. Now I'm going to take you to Genesis 25, verses 13 to 18, just to prove to you what I've just said. So Genesis 25, 13 to 18. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations, the firstborn of Ishmael. And I'll slaughter the names, that's okay. Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah to Shur, that is, before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Okay? God's promise to Abraham that he would provide for Ishmael. He fulfilled it. And he fulfilled it for his own purposes. Now we go to Sarah's initial reaction to God's promise to Abraham. She was standing by the door, catch these words, listening to God's discourse with Abraham. She could hear the conversation. God was speaking in clear, concise language and was understandable to both Abraham and Sarah. Now, I don't know about you, but we have the Holy Spirit that speaks to me. And I think I would be just like the children of Israel if God spoke to me directly. But this is God talking to Abraham, and he's talking to her, to him, in a way that Sarah can overhear it. She's standing by the door and hears the voice of God Almighty. And here's what she did. This is Genesis 18, verses 11 through 14. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing, and Sarah laughed to herself. After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord's patient response. And the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. All right. Abraham and Sarah must have been faithful to the Lord since he was speaking directly to them. Here we see Sarah's reaction is the same that Abraham's was. She laughs to herself. Now consider our own reaction to the Lord promising us that at 100 years old for the man and 90 years old for the woman, that we would conceive and deliver a child. All right, Sigonella, be careful. All right, that's our reaction to the Lord. That's our reaction. The Lord's saying, okay, you're going to have a son next year. We don't believe it. We just laugh. And it's not out of disrespect for the Lord, but our initial reaction is there's no possible way. That's our reaction. We would consider it foolish and laugh ourselves. I would personally, now mind you, dread having to raise a teenager when I was 113 years old. So all of this is going on. So we can understand that Abraham and Sarah, they're just looking at the Lord going, what'd you say? No, you've got to be kidding. And they laughed. However, let's go on. In the verses that I just read, the Lord's words there, we see the root of most of our problems. The Lord tells us clearly and concisely, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? That was his answer to them. You doubt me? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? This is the essence of faith. Do we believe the words of our Lord? He says, is anything too difficult for me? The I am. This is God that said, let there be light. And there was light. His word. Matter created out of nothing. His word alone created the universe. And his words to us are, is there anything too difficult for me? Do we believe that our God can do anything? He can do anything. And the answer you probably have is that yes, God can do anything. But will he? Okay, this is the question that I always have in my life. Yes, I believe that the Lord God can do anything. But will he? And we're going to answer that question. Please note here that Abraham and Sarah were way past childbearing ages. They did not ask the Lord to be pregnant and have a son. This was not their request. This was not their prayer. Okay? They had Ishmael. They already had all this taken care of. They did not ask the Lord God Almighty, please, Lord, at 190 years old, can we please have a son? They did not ask him. Sarah had given her handmaiden to Abraham so that they could have the son. And here's the big difference that we need to understand. It was the Lord God Almighty who was accomplishing his will and his purpose through Abraham and Sarah. The Lord was providing the means for the creation of his chosen people. Father Abraham. All right, the Muslims call him Father Abraham through Ishmael. The Jews call him Father Abraham for Israel. We call him Father Abraham because of the promise given to us. The Ishmaelites prepared the promised land, and the Lord fulfilled his promise to the Israelites by freeing them from slavery in Egypt and having them conquer the Ishmaelites and move into the promised land. Who knows the mind of God? Why did he do it that way? What was his purpose? Well, in hindsight, we know some of his purposes. The land needed to be prepared so that there was a promised land for the Israelites to move into. The Ishmaelites, God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and gave him 12 sons and 12 princes. He never told Abraham what he was going to do with those 12 princes. Only the Israelites, and here I want you to remember this, okay? They were going round and round the mountain. I remember Sig teaching this. Round and round the mountain. 40 years. They did laps around the mountain. And they did it for a purpose. Because only the Israelites of faith entered into the promised land. All those Israelites that lost their faith, that did not trust in their God, died in the desert. The ones of faith entered into the promised land. Those who had doubted the Lord during the 40 years in the desert perished. It was their offspring of faith that entered the promised land. What does this mean to us? Well, the message should be pretty clear by now. We are to have faith in our God. Faith that whatever is going on in our lives has a purpose. Do you believe that? Do you believe the words of our God? Is anything impossible for me to do? Do you believe the words of our God? Whatever is going on, our lives have a purpose. There is a reason. We're not just running around like chickens with their head cut off, okay? I've seen that. It's hilarious. All right? But we're not that way. We have a purpose in life. We are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Trust that He is in charge and that He is in control. Do you believe He's in charge? Do you believe He's in control? He is. We are not to look around us and at the circumstances and to say that there's no way out. We cannot possibly fix the problem. Remember what all the other spies that went into the promised land came back and said to the tribes? There's giants! They'll murder us! We'll be slaughtered! We can't go in there! Then there's Joshua and Caleb. Ooh, let's go! Alright? They were men of faith. They believed that their God could do anything. And that's what we have to hang on to. Yeah, we look around our circumstances and we're surrounded by enemies. They got bigger weapons than we do. They got bigger guys than we do. They're tearing us apart. They're destroying our families. They're attacking our homes. They're attacking our country. Oh, what are we going to do? It's terrible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe His words. There is nothing impossible for the Lord. Here we are. I'll take you back to Abraham and Sarah. We're too old to conceive. We're stuck in the desert, and the Lord is never going to lead us out of here. Why was this illegitimate child born, and why did he get 12 sons that became princes? Why? This is not to say that we can't ponder why a thing is happening. However, we are to trust in the Lord and have faith that there is a purpose for everything. And sometimes that purpose does not reward us personally. Sometimes we are being used by our Lord for others. Look at the Ishmaelites. He blessed them. But they were being used by the Lord for His purposes. Sometimes we are preparing a land for another people. And the bottom line is that our Lord will have His purposes fulfilled. So even when we don't understand the circumstances, even when we don't understand why we're being attacked, even when we don't understand why we're being blessed, understand this, that it is the Lord God Almighty's will that it happens this way. So guess what that means? That means no more whining. No more whining. Either the Lord is in charge or He is not. And that is the only decision you have to make. If the Lord's in charge, then trust Him, have faith in Him, and He will accomplish His will. Notice I'm saying His will. Not my will, not your will. His will. We will sometimes, in our initial reactions, laugh at what the Lord has promised us. We'll do the same thing. Yeah, right. You're going to do that for me. All right. The bottom line is we have to believe. This is a reaction that should not be in us or should only happen once. Once the Lord has delivered on His promise, you should believe that forever. There should be no more laughter. And in Abraham and Sarah's life, as we go on, you'll see that they didn't laugh anymore. Because they did conceive a child. And they said, all things are possible. All right, so their initial reaction was to laugh. But as they grew in their faith even more, they realized that nothing is impossible for God. The Lord replies to us with, why do you laugh? Is anything impossible for me? And so many times we pray going, He can't take care of this. It's just too much. We can't fix it. It's out of control. Nobody can fix it. There's no hope. Nothing is impossible to our Lord. We learn that our Lord delivers, and after that we should trust in the Lord and have faith that He will always accomplish His will in our lives. Understand that. He's not going to accomplish your will in your lives. He's going to accomplish His will in your lives. We see the long-term response if we look past the initial reactions of Abraham and Sarah. Now we go back to Hebrews 11:11. And listen to these words again now that you've had the background of Sarah and Abraham. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Sarah's response to the Lord after his admonition, you know, is there anything I cannot do? Then her response was to believe, to trust, and to have faith in what the Lord had promised. Note that the word says, by faith, Sarah received the ability to conceive. Catch that? It was by faith she received the ability to conceive. Because after her initial response, she trusted in the Lord and she believed Him and said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And then she conceived. It is our faith that limits what we are able to accomplish in the Lord. The more faith we have, the more useful we are to the Lord. It is the measure of our faith that determines our comfort in this world. Think about that. If we truly trust the Lord, if we truly have faith in Him, if we truly believe that He can do anything, what fear is left? What concerns are left? You know, you look at the Apostle Paul and the words that he wrote. His concerns were not of being beaten, starved, thrown in prison. His concerns were the Lord's concern. How am I serving you, Lord? What more can I do for you, Lord? That's what our faith should bring us to. Not, gee, it's hot. I don't want to work. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. Everybody's against me and I can't do anything. That is not faith. That is not serving the Lord. And by the way, that was personal experience I just shared with you. It is our faith, and here's something that I thought was so great. It is our faith that the Lord treasures and is pleased by. He used all the prophets. Some of them were whiners. Some of them ran away. And some of them, like Abraham, laughed initially, but served him faithfully. And I guarantee, just as a father with your children, okay, you take great pleasure when they have faith in you and they trust you, and you tell them to do something, and even if they don't agree with it, they do it because you're their father. That's what the Lord treasures, that we have faith and trust in Him. Do we consider Him faithful who has promised? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. And Ben, I only have you for a few more weeks, so please come close.